bums a dime in your prime, didn't you? People called, say beware, Dawn, you're bound to fall. You thought they were all just kidding you. You used to laugh about everybody that was hanging out. Now you don't talk so loud. Now you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging your next meal. How does it feel?
How does it feel? Oh, yeah. Welcome back, my friends, to the American Awakening. Yes, no, you are not dreaming, and I was, but not tonight. Apparently, I missed Friday and Monday, and I want to apologize to the listeners and to John Statmiller and to Mike Herzog. I screwed up. I got my dates crossed over. I've been so busy working during the days that I thought Mike was going to do Friday, Monday, and Tuesday, and I was coming in this week, Wednesday. But anyway, so very sorry. So sorry. I miss you, all you people. Last week, Friday, Monday. I tuned in on Saturday to see what Mike Herzog was talking about on Friday's show, and I heard myself, and I said, huh? What's going on? I said, geez, Mike must have not been able to make it. They're rebroadcasting my show. Okay, great. And, well, then I got the call from John Statmiller asking where I was. So I am here. I am alive, and I am here tonight live on the American Awakening on the Republic Broadcasting Network, not the Democracy Broadcasting Network, the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm going to make up for my standster behavior by missing Friday and Monday. I bought a stack of stuff tonight. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, if you would like to join the broadcast, the number is 800-313-9443. Give us a call. Chip in. We're going to have Gary Blackwell in Michigan. We're going to have Chris in Las Vegas join us tonight. So we'll just see where this broadcast goes. We got Chris, and do we have Gary yet? We're working.
Remember,
on
not
it.
Last name. Just
you got Chris.
Chris.
Welcome, Chris. How are you, my friend?
Very, very well. Thank you.
Well, great. It's good to hear you back with the. Well, I hate to use the word among the living, among the free. Chris is going through a nightmare with the witch's court. Let's just leave it at that. We don't want to disclose too much of his tactical path through the court system, but suffice it to say, Chris was done a serious, serious, serious injustice, and being locked up in a psychiatric hospital for his political beliefs for almost 2 months. And I want to thank all the people that kind of came to his aid with phone calls and whatnot. It ended up public pressure, and the long and short is public pressure is the only thing that's going to keep all of us free. That's why we all got to work together to pressure whoever you got to pressure if one of us gets scooped up or goes down. Patriots are in the crosshairs these days. You want to really be in the battle? Yeah, be an active, be a patriot. We got Gary online too. Welcome. We got so if you want to really get in the fight, so to speak, and I'm not talking about violence. Talking about getting active with your mind and your mouth now before it's too late, before we have to turn to the ballot box. We're trying to get the ballot box is a big scam. Unless you have paper ballots, forget the ballot box. Everything's electronic, and we all know that goes down that rabbit hole. But anyway, let me welcome Gary in Michigan, my senior friend Gary. How are you tonight?
I just unmuted myself. I'm just doing great. Thank you. I'm so happy to hear you guys' voices again. It's a joy and a pleasure.
Oh, it's great to have you with us tonight. Appreciate you guys joining me and helping me out. And we're going to get some information out to the masses tonight. We're not going to toe the party line. I'm sorry. I wish there was a party. But by the way, they're corporations, not parties anymore. So, I mean, people who still say the Democrat Party and the Republican Party are either sadly mistaken or working for the enemy. Because both
may I say this, please?
What's that, Gary?
May I say this, please?
Sure.
Okay. I paid very close attention to President Trump when he took his oath of office, and this may be old news to most people out here, but if not, it's something you can be aware of. when he took his oath to be the office, along with his Vice President Pence, he took an oath of office to be the President of the United States. He did not take an oath to be the President of the United States of America.
Right.
And it's very clear, and maybe I'm talking to the choir here, whoever's on, but if you don't believe it, go back and review his oath of office. So it makes him no different than any of the other people that have been around for many years taking the same oath. So until we can hold their feet to the fire on the oath, they're not responsible for anything. And then there's one more oath that they all take. If you got to watch, and that's called the Conidra oath. I'm sure you know about that, Eric.
Tell us about that.
The Conidra oath
hold
is an oath.
Hey, Gary, I'll tell you what. Let me do this. Let me comment on what you just said, and then hold that thought. And I want you to explain what that other oath is.
You're right.
The first thing that came to my mind was you're exactly right. Once again, for our listeners who are kind of new to this, there's the United States of America, which is the country of sovereign individuals. And then there's the United States Corporation. And if you're talking United States, you're talking the corporate entity incorporated. They're legalizing the Masons and the attorneys believe that they can legalize the unlawful. They believe that if they pass this, they get their little club of bar members together and pass a statute out of whatever legislature they're infesting, that all of a sudden it's legal, it's legitimate, it's okay, it's good. You could steal some health. State police say, well, it's the law now that the state says I can go steal your car, steal your right to travel, steal your private property if you don't pay rent to the commissar, you know, and they think all this stuff is normal. This is how Germany went down. Don't ever let anybody ask you, well, how did Germany go so far down the toilet that they had concentration camps? And I don't want to get into splitting hairs about how many got killed, but there was some serious atrocities being committed by the Nazis, and I don't think that's in dispute. And you don't have to go far to figure out what happened. Look around you today, here in the USA. That's exactly what they're doing. Denial, denial, deny. No, it's not that bad. No, the Bundys aren't sitting in prison being tortured. No, Chris didn't get locked up in a psychiatric ward like Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the author of The Gulag Archipelago. No, deny, deny, deny. And even though it's going on in your community and in your state, wherever the private prisons are everywhere. There, a lot of times there's all this keeping these little towns up and running is people working at the local prison or the government somehow are getting a subsidy from it because they're so broke due to too many regulations and business control. So you don't have to go far to see what happened in Germany. Just look around today. And so anyway, back to what Gary was saying. They're legalizing the unlawful. They think that because they want to incorporate our government, nope, they didn't come out on any kind of full disclosure and any kind of political platform, and I don't care who you're talking to, no one of them. None of the presidents have come over and said, hey, look, you know, your government, we want to incorporate your government so we can sell it, turn them into fiduciary instruments and sell the stock on the open market to China and Vatican and the Rothschilds and get really rich doing it. Great. They did it all on the sly. They did it by deceit. Who's the father of deceit? Satan. So they go by deceit, behind the curtain, behind the scenes. You know, they think because we're, you know, look, put it all on the table. If they're gonna be, and that's why one of the mottos is hide in plain sight, but they never really do it. They never put all their cards out and tell people what their plan, what the true plan is. Oh, they drop little hints here and there, but then they use layers and layers of media, brainwashing, education, school system to kind of cover up those little bits of truth that they put out there. And the little bits of truth are usually only symbolic and numerologic and super, you know, it's not the truth of what they're doing. So, I mean, you know, if they want to put it on the table, if they want to have full disclosure and tell us they've incorporated our government, I mean, let's be honest. Of course, they're not going to do that. We have to find out just by observing, reading their charters and their corporate documents and their filings. I mean, these people, I couldn't believe it when I first heard it. Every governmental entity is incorporated. There are very few that aren't. Some towns and counties are not. There's a bunch in Nevada that are not. They do exist. And I know my listeners out there, if you check up, find out if your county is incorporated or not. If it's not incorporated, great. You got a chance. If it's incorporated, unincorporate your county or try to get to a county that's not incorporated. That's the problem. So the United States versus the United States of America. You're talking about the corporation, the United States, versus the country, the United States of America. And you're right, since they have incorporated our government at every level, local, state, and federal, they needed to hire a CEO. They didn't want to hire a president. He's not a president, let's be honest. He's Donald Trump's CEO of the U.S. corporation. That is the truth of what his real title is. Want to be honest? Let's cut right to there. He's not President Donald Trump. What a bunch of BS that is. He's Donald Trump's CEO, Chief Executive Officer of the United States, or of the corporation called the United States, which formerly known as the FSU, the former Soviet Union, the former United States of America, is now the United States Corporation. Go to Europe, go all over the world. They're more free there than they are here, except for China and a few select allies and business partners of the United States Corporation and the Goldman Trump administration. Any comments, Gary or Chris?
Well, that's great.
I got a little bit for you on that.
Sure.
Remember, Donald Trump also wears two hats. He's also the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, at least allegedly, in this de facto government that's taken over the American government system. And so de facto, of course, means by force of arms. And, of course, going back to the Libra Code, it puts us in a very express danger. And even more dangerous than that is the concept of so-called discretion, judicial discretion, prosecutorial discretion, officer of the court discretion, or police officer's discretion. Discretion are the powers of a demigod who make and rule on their own perceptions and deceptions of what they seem to be liable or advantageous to their own point of view. So it's a very, very dangerous to the public safety and national security of America, I observe.
You got that right.
Well, I was doing a little due diligence prior to getting on the phone here, not because I was getting on the phone, but just coincidental to some other things I'm working on. And I was citing the case of Rundle versus Raritan Capital Canal Corporation, more commonly known as Rundle versus Delaware, which in a nutshell says that in order for parties to contend in a controversy together, one with another, they must be of like kind in nature. And that means that a corporation, which is a fictitious entity, cannot compete with a natural man because a natural man has a lifespan and can be locked up in prison. He can have his liberty stolen, but a corporation cannot. They have no soul, no persona. They're merely a fictitious entity, and they act through their agents, and therefore they are not culpable and liable and suitable and personally responsible as a natural man.
A convenient way for them to get themselves off the out of any culpability or responsibility. Amazing how they have turned corporations, which are fictitious entities, into people, living entities with rights, and taken people, the living man, the living woman, and put us in the category of property and animals. Was it the Food Safety Act of 1906 or 1903 that said humans and other animals? Think about that, humans and other animals, and I believe it's called the Food Safety Act of 1906. I might be slightly off on my year. I don't have that right in front of me. But
I might share with the listeners something that somebody a lot more studious and knowledgeable than I had to say about it, and that's Sir Edward Coke, who declared that a corporation cannot commit treason, felony, or other crime, neither is it capable of suffering a traitor's or felon's punishment, for it is not liable to corporeal penalties that it can perform no personal duties, for it cannot take an oath for the due execution of an office, neither can it be arrested or committed to prison for its existence being ideal. No man can arrest it, neither can it be excommunicated, for it has no soul. But these doctrines of Lord Coke were founded upon apprehension of the law now treated as antiquated and obsolete. His lordship did not anticipate an improvement by which a corporation could be transformed into a citizen and by that transformation be given a physical existence and endowed with a soul and a body too. The incongruities here attempted to be shown as necessarily deducible from the decisions of the cases of the Bank of the United States versus DeVaux, that's DeVaux, and Cincinnati and Louisville Railroad Company versus Letson, L-E-T-S-O-N, afford some illustration of the effects which must ever follow a departure from the settled principles of law. It's very, very poignant. Sir Edward Coke is quite a jurist and quite eloquent in his pronouncements of what was truly the common law of the land, the Creator's law, in that ancient time. Although some would suggest that the common law was the jus divini, that's the divine law of the Creator, and they always try to take on these despots and potentates the mantle of the Creator and associate themselves with the gods so they can translate those powers to Ecclesiastica, which is the assimilation of church and state. Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, great point. And it made me think of, well, you mentioned common. The one thing in there that I may make an adjustment on, and this is open for debate, but I would use the term, if you're to describing God-given rights, natural law, and this is open for interpretation. So I'm just the best definition I liked is that natural law would be your God-given rights, and common law would be the communication device between the natural law, the God-given rights, the ethereal, and you know, those things that you have to rely on, you know, faith and more of your mind than the immediate world, so to speak.
I totally concur with your assessment there, and the point is we must be very careful with the word choices and terms and phrases that we use when we're speaking in law nature or legal nature, as they may sometimes falsely reterm it these days, because 1864 Webster's tells us that legal is the removal of God from the law. And so if we understand that, we carefully delineate that we're speaking about the absolute natural common law of the land, the Creator's law, and that is what America was founded on, those moral righteous principles of men and women that had the Spirit written on their hearts and in their minds and well understood the nature of the scriptural nature of their life that they wanted to live on this continent, free from the despotic tyranny of mere men assuming the powers of gods.
I am so glad you brought up the word dictionary. Some of the most fascinating things I've found just by paging through the dictionary, and one of them was the definition of the word ISIS. And Mike on the board, hold tight. Perfect time. Let's just do this. Mike on the board, if you would kind of get the ISIS clip that we played before, could you get that up? And just about ready to roll. And I'm going to read you the definition because we're going to start with the dictionary, okay? Because you're right. Your concept we're talking about right now, people, is Chris brought up the fact we have to be careful about the terms and the words we use. Let's try to be as accurate as we possibly can. If any of us are wrong, let's debate it. Let's get the truth out there. You know, once again, ultimately, the truth, you know, the truth is not subjective. It's objective, and this is how you debate a Mason. I'll come back to that in a little while because I had it happen up in the courthouse with the Mason, and he said he was a Mason, and it was very interesting, and we'll talk about that in a second. But for now, the long and short was reality is not subjective. You can't make up is he used the word. Let me take the detour. It'll take less than 5 minutes. We were talking, and he said, your perception is your reality. And I said, well, if I perceive the sky to be green and the grass is blue, does that mean it's true? And, you know, when the preponderance of the statistical observational, I hear music. We'll pick this up. How to debate a Freemason. What is reality? Is it subjective or objective? That's the question. That's the quiz for the break. Is reality subjective or objective? We will have the answer to that right after these messages from our commercial sponsors on the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer with Chris and Gary. Stay with us.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My friends, welcome back. Welcome back to the American Awakening. Thank you for joining us on the Republic Broadcasting Network. There are very few places where you will get the real truth. This is one of them. Please support the network, won't you? We appreciate it. Do it on a monthly basis and make this last. The only thing that keeps this whole entire network going is you and the few sponsors that have enough guts to advertise and not go running away when they hear, you know, somebody talking about the Vickers and the Masons. Or the real definition of reality, which is a crucial fundamental linchpin for the Freemasons, and, of course, the definition of ISIS, which we're going to get to in a minute, and then a clip. So when I was up in the Monroe County Courthouse once, observing courtroom proceedings for a gentleman who was getting ripped off by Bank of America, the gentleman introduced himself and came out and told me he was a Mason. I was criticizing him, and he said, I'm a Mason. I said, oh, really? And he said, yeah. He said, well, long and short, to make the story brief, he started making claims that perception is reality. First, he said, your perception is your reality. And I said, well, I can't make up a truth. There are universal truths, are there not? He said, well, perception is reality. He tried to make it general. He tried to make it not, you know, yours. And I said, well, still, same concept applies. Can you make up a fact? Can you, when this preponderance of the statistical, observational, and empirical evidence is that something is a truth or, quote-unquote, as close to a fact as we can determine in this realm that we're in. You know, there's certain universal truths. You know, if a group of people are standing around and observing an event, and someone comes up and says, no, I don't see that. I see, you know, I see Santa Claus and reindeer. I mean, you can't make up a fact or the truth. So, I wanted to be sure that I was, right on this. So I opened up the dictionary of reality. And the definition was right there. That was very simple. That which exists objectively and in fact. And that's what reality is. So you can't say your perception is your reality. You can't make up, you can live in a dream world, I guess. You can be delusional. Sure, you could be mentally ill. You could have hallucinations, I suppose. But there are certain universal truths that you can't make up. You can't make up reality. You can't make up facts. I know so many people in our corporate government and media and et cetera do that. We try to stay away from that here. So, we go back to the dictionary. What is reality? I got this Mason telling me perception is reality. So, and the reality is that which exists objectively and in fact. So you can't make it up. I mean, there are universal facts and universal truths. As close as we can get into in this life. But so I go to the dictionary, go to the fundamental books. Mine is the American Heritage. And very interestingly, when I went to the word ISIS, let me go back here because there's two very important concepts involved here. And this may be a repeat for some of our listeners, but I know we got some new people on, so I'm opening up the dictionary here to the word ISIS. I-S-I-S, and this is with a capital I. So it's not, this is the proper name ISIS that they're ascribing to quote-unquote terrorists. So there's two. I see ISIS-1 with a little one next to it, and then underneath it, ISIS-2. They're both spelled identical with a capital I and then a small S-I-S. And the first one says, and this is on page 693 of the American Heritage Dictionary, English language. Okay, and down here it says, ISIS-1, an ancient Egyptian goddess of fertility and sister and wife of Osiris. Pretty gross, I know. Let me just repeat it. It's a little bit confusing to a normal person. An ancient Egyptian goddess of fertility, also the sister and wife of Osiris. So she's an Egyptian goddess who married her brother. And then underneath it, it says ISIS, too. And all it says next to it is, see Oxford. Oxford with a capital O. Oxford. All right, telling me to go see Oxford. And very interesting, huh? And I'm thinking, oh, wow, Oxford, I know what Oxford is. That's where Oxford University is. That's where all the MI6 and the top banking graduates come from. You do your time, Jesuits, you want to get high up in the elite, pushing for the Illuminati? Get into Oxford University, and we'll talk about this more after the break. I'm the American Awakening. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Support the network, won't you, please? Thank you very much for your help and support. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer with Chris and Gary. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app. A global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, silent salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the American Awakening. I want to thank Mike Herzog for letting me sit in. I guess the deal is Mike's got a project going on, and I'm sitting in until further notice. So until I get bounced, I'm here. So make your voice known, whether you love it or hate it. Let John Stadtmiller know what you like on this network. And then if you like what you hear, please do support the network. This is the only place you're going to hear many of these truths. And it's very simple and fundamental what we're doing. Chris brought up terms. Crucial. I'm glad I was going to get to one or two other things, but I think this is more important. These are fundamental. When he brought up terms in the dictionary and words are, you know, getting to the definitions of words as close to the universal truth as we can get. We just talked about how the Freemasons attempt to destroy the concept of universal truth through this idiotic notion that perception is reality. And everybody can just run around making up whatever reality they want to live in. I mean, that's called delusional or mentally ill. There's a limit to how much daydreaming you can do and then call that reality. It's daydreaming, it's fantasy, whatever you want to call it, but you can't make up reality. Reality, the definition is that which exists objectively and in fact. It is not subjective, it's objective. That means you can't make it up. Okay. So getting to the definition of ISIS, I wanted to know what the dictionary said ISIS was. And I kind of knew about the Egyptian goddess thing was going to come up. But I didn't know, and that second little part here was kind of threw me for a loop. And it's very interesting that second definition of ISIS with a capital I, first one is an Egyptian goddess who married her brother. Yeesh. And then the second one is, see Oxford. Meaning go turn to page 939, of the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, and there it says Oxford, the capital O-X-F-O-R-D, Oxford. The county seat of Oxfordshire, England, on the Thames, that's the river, locally called Isis. 52 miles northwest of London, site of Oxford University, where all the MI6 graduates go. Population, 109,000. I threw in the part about the MI6 and all the bankers and J.P. Morgan and everybody else who goes to Oxford is absolutely working for the enemy. They don't put out brilliant people who are trying to save civilization. They're putting
out... I can add a little light on that.
Yes, shed some light on that. But anyway, so that was very, very interesting. ISIS is Oxford. Chris is going to shed a little light on that, and then when Chris is done with his points, Mike is going to play a clip. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was going to say, I know a little bit about ISIS, and it's a little more expansive than what was illuminated in that version of the American Heritage Dictionary that you spoke of, and I know her to be more accurately and more completely the goddess of death, destruction, blood, lust, and sexuality.
Yep.
Fertility, as you might call it. So part of it's correct. Also, there was a later interpretation, I think, from about 1968, as I recall, of the Israeli Secret Intelligence Services.
Oh, my gosh, funny you mention that, because we got a clip about that coming up as soon as you're ready, Chris.
Well, and also, MI6, it's my discerned opinion that MI6 translates to the Mossad Israeli 6 and the six-point star bar chamber of Satan, if you will. So let's hear your clip.
ISIS.
Each, because you have three major intelligence gathering organizations in Israel. You start with the Mossad. What is it?
Mossad means institute, by the way, and this is an institute for intelligence and special operations. So the Mossad is the foreign espionage arm. Compare it to the CIA.
All right, go down here to the...
Next one is Amman, right? Military intelligence. It's a Hebrew acronym, so it is the intelligence arm of the armed forces. As Yossi was saying, it in fact is the largest and most important. And then it says Shin Bet, two Hebrew letters, initials for security services. That's the domestic agency, the equivalent of the FBI.
Which one of the three is the most important?
Oh, it would be Amman, the military intelligence. Nothing is
Why?
More important than you're watching your Arab neighbors for actual movements of troops, how many tanks they have, where are the aircraft. All these other missions that we described are fascinating. And even getting, you know, thousands of Jews into the country is vital. But war, having a sign that war is coming, that's the key, and that's Amman's job.
Which is the second most important?
The Mossad. The problem with Amman, with the military intelligence, is that it lives in the shadow of the flamboyant Mossad. It can be compared to the same problem which is facing United States National Security Agency, NSA. It is the largest, the most important agency in the intelligence community. Yet, the most famous one, which gets media attention, is the CIA. The same is in Israel. The Mossad has become sort of epitomizing the Israeli intelligence. But the most important agency is military intelligence. Mossad comes second, and then you have Shin Bet, the Israeli equivalent to the FBI, in charge of fighting terrorism, counterterrorism, subversion, trying to foil plots against the state of Israel, political plots and others.
You tell the story about how you tried to find out what they call the Mossad when they deal with publicly?
I thought it was a reasonable question, but the trouble is you can't pick up the phone book. There's no Langley in Israel that you can look up, you know, CIA or in our case the Mossad. We thought we should ask, what shall we call it in English? You can translate the Hebrew words, as I said, Mossad is institute. But when they write a letter to their friends in the CIA or the British intelligence, what do they call themselves? It took a while. It was a matter of asking the prime minister's spokesman. The best you could do, because officially the Mossad is under the prime minister's office. And I think he sort of wondered why you want to know and all that, so we explained. And he came up with the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. I mean, if it were to have initials, it would be ISIS. Just simple words like that. Interestingly enough, a kind of a British model. The British don't really like the names MI5 and MI6 for their foreign service. They prefer SIS, Secret Intelligence Service.
Well, well, well. Kind of based on the British model, like Oxford. Like Oxford. Hello. Very, very interesting. ISIS, Israeli Secret Intelligence Services. Well, those guys are the experts, and he said we, so I guess he's one of them that named their Secret Intelligence Services ISIS, the Israeli Secret Intelligence Services. Go figure. Them and MI6 and the CIA and all the private corporate agencies hiring mercenaries to pretend they're Muslims and suck some Muslims in. Many useful idiots who think they're doing their whatever, religious warfare, whatever. But generally, it's orchestrated and staged by these intelligence agencies that hire these mercenaries to organize these units and these supposed terrorist organizations. And they stack them with as many useful idiot, mentally ill, violent people as they possibly. Most of them really mercenaries just working for money. Most of it comes down to that. You know, they're going to have financial gain in it through some... through monetary gain or just through raw power. I thought that was a very interesting clip there. In the words of quote-unquote the experts, they seem to think that ISIS or ISIS stands for the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service.
Well, you know, Eric...
What do you think about that, Chris? Go ahead, Gary. Chris?
Well, there's another thought about that. You mentioned that it came from the Balritish... intelligence services, part of the ones that gave them name. Well, when we hear British, I think it's Barit, Baraitish, and Ish in ancient Hebrew is man, and S is female. So when you understand it's Barit, men, Ish, it makes some sense. And these are words I've learned to try to take apart and discern with some spiritual guidance, and it's something... In my particular situation that we were talking about, the importance of words is just really so critical in the legalese or legal la-la land, as I prefer to call it, because these people are masters at word war art, and
right.
they twist the
right.
words to their own predatory, avaricious legal advantage. And there's so many words that are so vague and nebulous. And in order for a crime to be cognized as a person with any degree of discernibility for the least sophisticated standard is required by the law, it must have a degree of specificity related to what the meaning of the word is. And
yeah,
in fact,
well,
when you
beyond,
hear the word, well, beyond how about the...
Yeah, it's beyond even, I was just wanted to say it's beyond even vague and nebulous. It's totally, completely fabricated and made up out of nothing. In air, look at the constructive possession. Possession requires actual holding or occupancy. That's another one. Look it up in the dictionary. Now the attorney bar members and legislators, who are all bar members themselves passing these statutes, have come up with this bizarre word called constructive possession, which means if you're nearby it, you're in possession of it, which is baloney. Possession requires actual holding. That's the dictionary definition. Once again, possession requires actual holding. At least for you can touch it and be in possession of it. It only has to be for a second, but you have to be in possession of it. You have to hold it. It has to be in your grasp, so to speak.
Yeah.
And Tom LaCavara is being held on a constructive possession charge. It's completely made up.
Eric, that's something that I see particularly that is relating here to our so-called Western District, where they had the so-called justice meeting back around January, and they tried to concoct this. They were going to basically do a war against the American peoples, try to restore the common law grand jury movement because it's not reviewed by even the Supreme Court. And they also must have talked about some of this constructive possession, constructive alternative meanings of word terms. And in the case that I'm involved with, a couple of the terms that are very vague, ambiguous, but they say arbitrary, capricious, avaricious, predatory, and rapaciously advantageous to the legal mercenaries that run the court are resist, public officer, use, and weapon. Resist, you can't discern by what methodology you resisted with that word term. And it connotes or gives a suggestion to those who are paying attention, a whole myriad of different perception management issues where each person may have their own perceptual image of what that term means. It might be dangerous to one person. Of course, dangerous is not clear and concise itself. It's another fear word. Fantasy and vision is reality. But in order to have the specificity required for the least sophisticated to be able to discern with a reasonable degree of appreciation of what he's being accused of, the word must be defined and set forth with clarity. Perspicuity is a word I was just reading about, which has a per se conspicuous appearance of clarity to it. And these are very, very important concepts in law, and this is part of what I've learned with Rod Klass's case. In fact, he's going to the Supreme Court with his case down in North Carolina against the state and against the D.C. police that tried to charge him with constructive possession, although his concealed weapon, which he had a lawful permit from North Carolina for, he was locked away, secured in his private automobile conveyance in the parking lot, which was not posted, but they had changed the classification of the parking lot without giving any notice or due process to the people that were parking there that the nature of it had changed. And although he was 1,000 feet away, somehow some so-called D.C. Municipal Police Force member spied a holster or spied the pistol in his car while he was searching without a warrant. I couldn't tell you unless somebody maybe tipped him off, potentially, and that's not without plausible consideration. But nevertheless, they brought the charge that he was possessing an unregistered, an unlawful firearm within a dangerous distance to the House and legislatures there on the Capitol grounds. And so he had a lawful carry concealed permit for it from the state of North Carolina, and it had it secured in a safe manner in his private automobile. He wasn't brandishing it or uttering it, but they're trying to create this constructive possession because it was in the possession of his automobile when he was over 1,000 feet away at a summon to be at court incident. Much the same way as use is undefined, and when you can pervert and twist the meaning of resist to incorporate the concepts of giving due process of law and demanded notice and opportunity to cease and desist or to a so-called public officer, which is really an imposter masquerading as a public officer, and they're really private foreign corporate mercenaries. That was also revealed in Rod Klass's case in the state there, where the state attorney general professed that the state really did not have any employees that were public servants because they were all private foreign contract workers or hirelings, as the case may be, and therefore they weren't officially public servants under law.
People don't forget, at least 15 states, I believe, if not more, have a public officer's law where they have to have an oath and a bond filed with the county clerk within 30 days or whatever the statute sets forward. In New York, it's within 30 days after they begin their term. They have to file these papers. We went and looked into it. The judge in the in an upstate New York town here in Andover had to recuse himself from the case because his oath and bond, I'm holding it right here in my hand, justice's term begins 1-1 of 2010, and the term ends of 12-31-2013. That's stamped and filed with the Allegheny County Clerk's Office. The guy had an oath and bond filed, and he let it expire in 2013, and 2016 came around last fall, and he'd been running cases for 3 years as a private individual, because if you look into the public officer's law in New York, it's section 30.1H says the position is vacant. If they don't file this oath and bond within 30 days after they start their term, that position is vacant, and they're operating as a private individual. In one of the statutes, it even says it's a misdemeanor punishable by fines or imprisonment. So we've been writing up. Don't we run across, he recuses himself. The county appoints a different town as a change of venue, and that judge doesn't have an oath and bond either. They must be really stupid. And we filed another paper, the same one, and the judge goes, I think I might dish this back to the county. And so great, because the county... Well, the county judge has already stated on the record that his jurisdiction was only for a change of venue, and that's it. Very narrow. He was really specific, and it was kind of funny. So we got him in his own words. All we got to do is hand him the record of his own speech. It's saying, now my jurisdiction is very limited here. I can't dismiss your case or try it. All I can do is change the venue. That's it. That's all I can do. So if it goes back
here's
to the court,
couple
I guess
of,
we gotta hold up to
judicial
that.
Judicial law words that you might be appraised of. The one is what you're speaking of when they become as a private individual and give up their judicial robes of pretenses of authority is quorum non judis, quorum non judas, or judice.
After the break. I hear some music yonder down the road there.
I want to hear from Gary when we come back, too.
We'll be right back. We got Chris in Las Vegas, and we're going to bring in Gary for a prayer after the top of the hour. Thank you for joining us on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Please support the network. This is where you hear the truth. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer sitting in for Mike Herzog, who's fine. He's just taking a little break for a few projects, and he'll be back.
If your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue, and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed, and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Extendivite. A 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. Glad everybody's waking up and listening to a network that broadcasts the truth, or as close as we can get to it. We're trying to get there tonight. By the way, in New York, the town and village justices are required by Article 13, Subsection 1 of the New York State Constitution to take and subscribe the oath of office set forth below. The completed oath must then be filed in 3 places. Uniform Justice Court Act, subsection 104. And the 3 places are the Office of the County Clerk, the Office of the Clerk of the Municipality, and the Office of Court Administration. You got to file them in 3 places. And none of the New York State Troopers have an oath and bond. They have an oath filed in Albany, but none of them have a bond, as required by public officers law. And we were told by a New York attorney that New York State police are not officers of the court. Well, really, then what authority do they have to force you to go into the witch's court at the point of a gun? Because they're going to come get you if you don't show up in court. And they're telling you at the point of a gun with these citations that you're going to got to go into court. The one thing that they are is officers of the court. It's absurd. They're living in a lie. Who would want to be part of that? So this is the danger. This is the ramification of living in a corporatized, incorporated, privatized governmental structure system where all the state and county governments, almost all of them, at least especially in the East Coast, and when you get near the larger metropolitan areas, places like New York and California, it's very difficult to find counties and states that are not incorporated. I believe all the states are. Almost all the counties are. Me? So, back to the... Chris, did you have any comments on public officers' laws or anything like that? Nevada, I believe it's Section 282. What's that, Mike? Okay. We're going to try to bring Chris back up on the line. I think that was the dial tone we heard. So we're coming up to the top of the hour, so I'm going to...
Sure, what happened?
There he is.
Chris, you're back, buddy. Good deal. Why don't we do this? I'm going to read my brief thing from Cicero, if I can find it, before we go to the break. And I always like this quote. I have trouble digging it up now. Chris, do you have it off the top of your head? You wouldn't know Cicero's quote, would you, on a nation can survive. It's the ambitious and even its fools, but it cannot survive treason from within. And it goes on to basically say that the enemy at the gates, it carries their banner openly. You know, I would say the enemy at the gates is the Democrats and the left, so to speak. You know, the communist agenda, which is nothing more than just in the small, minuscule extension of the globalist agenda at a local level. But it cannot survive treason from within. The traitor moves among the crowd of the people and speaks in tones familiar to them and talks in words familiar to the people that are reassuring. And it just, the quote, it was, oh, he said it, Cicero said it in 44 AD. And it was absolutely spot on for today. If you put the word Democrat in front of the word enemy at the gates and the word Republican for the word traitor, it was absolutely perfect. You could apply it right to what's going on today with both parties. Sorry, political corporations who work for the bankers. We'll talk more about this at the top of the hour. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer on the American Awakening. Please support the RBN Network, and we'll be right back after this break.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.